Thank you so much for that warm welcome. It's great to be here at Faith Baptist Church with you. We've been looking forward to this time and just grateful, you know, when you've been in ministry for over 40 years or been missionaries 30 some years, you know, you're getting old, right? We also know we're getting old. Our oldest grandchild just graduated from high school, and that's what brought us up here to Ohio. And we're very thankful for the gracious invitation and opportunity to be with you. You all have been part of our ministry for many, many years. First of all, during our years in Ecuador, where we were missionaries planting churches and training leaders and helping in many different ways in the country of Ecuador, both in the capital city of Quito and later on the coast in the city of Manta. For the last several years, we've been part of a team called Live Global that's part of ABWE. And Live Global connects North American churches with national-led ministries around the world. And I look forward to sharing more about that in the question and answer time and in the second period. But right now, I'd like for you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, and I just want to talk to you today about the subject, Jesus is making me. Jesus is making me. And we're gonna look at a basic discipleship verse to begin with, and then we're going to be talking about Peter and how Jesus worked in his life to make him a fisher of men. Jesus had a particular purpose in his meeting with Peter and his discipleship. But the basic verse I'd like to start with is Matthew 4, verse 19. Matthew 4, 19. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. Jesus here speaking on the shores of the Sea of Galilee to Andrew and Simon, his brother. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I just kind of want to focus in on the verb in the middle there. I will make you fishers of men. Now, I will make you, that conveys an idea of construction, of formation, maybe of preparation. Sometimes we might say, I will make you in the terms of appointing someone to something. And I think all of those ideas come into effect when Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus says in that moment, this is who you are going to be. This is who I see you being. This is going to be the outcome, and I am going to make it happen. I want to encourage you today with that idea. Jesus is making us something. Now, maybe when he met you, because of your occupation, he wouldn't have said fishers of men, but that was the ideal thing to say to Andrew and Simon. I was a teacher when God was calling me. Maybe Jesus would have said, I'm going to make you a teacher of disciples. Maybe he would have said something a little bit different, but I'm certain that in there would have been, I will make you. I will make you. I have a purpose. I have a plan. And, you know, many times we tell people as we're evangelizing, as we're sharing the gospel, come to Jesus as you are. And that is exactly right. I love that old invitation song, just as I am. And that's the invitation God gives, come just as you are. But when you come to Jesus just as you are, you will not stay just as you are. There will be a making, a transformation, a work of God in your life. And as we consider basic discipleship and that call in Simon Peter's life, I also was thinking of Luke chapter 9, verse 23, where Jesus also is talking about just being a disciple. And in Luke 9, 23, he said to them all, not just to Simon and Andrew, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus makes it clear that Being his disciple involves self-denial. It involves commitment. It involves sacrifice. Now, one of the main characters in both of these passages is Peter. Peter is involved in the conversation. And of all of the first disciples, Peter is the one that we have the biggest, most well-rounded picture of in Scripture. And so I just want to look at a few moments in Peter's life when we see how Jesus was making him. And in doing this, I also want to be transparent and share some illustrations from my life about how God has worked in me, making me. And as the old button said, please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. He's not finished with me. And I'm glad that he's still making me and he is still making you into the as it says, so that we would be conformed to the image of Christ. Peter is a dynamic character. And Jesus, in all of these episodes, is working in him. And I want to encourage you, whatever chapter of life you're in, to understand Jesus is working. He is working. He is there. He is involved. He is molding and shaping, and he has an appointment for you. What are some of the ways in which Jesus made Peter who he was? I want to think of four ways, and I'm going to try to be brief with each one. Now, first of all, Jesus called Peter to be with him. Jesus called Peter to be with him. There was a special moment illustrated in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, and in the other Gospels, where Jesus specifically calls out some of his first followers. It says in Mark 3, 14, and you may want to turn there. I'm going to read where I have it in my notes. It says, he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. This is in the terms of making as an appointment. He spoke into the lives of 12 of these first followers, and Simon is the first in the list. Simon, who Jesus called Peter. He was named first. Now, Peter had already met Jesus. He'd already been called to follow Jesus. He'd participated in the teaching ministry by lending his boat for Jesus to stand in. He had witnessed several miracles. He'd probably already begun to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Maybe he'd already believed that. We know that later he declared it. He said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter eventually could express in his letters, he said, Peter knew that he had been born not of corruptible seed, but by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And that he was purchased with the blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And Jesus would also welcome you into a living, loving relationship with himself, just as Josh expressed in the beginning of the service. Because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he invites you to know new and eternal life in him. And Peter had experienced that. And now Jesus, this letting Peter and others know, I'm calling you into a level of intimacy, of walking together with me. He called them to be with him and so that he could send them out to preach. He wanted them to be constantly learning from Jesus, spending every day with Jesus. And I think that the Lord wants all of us to live with that mindset of his presence and our presence with him at every moment in our lives. He wants to be on the throne of our lives, not just in a room where we keep him and bring him out on special occasions. He wants to dominate everything. He wants to stick his will, stick his finger, so to speak, into every aspect of our life. He wants to be the ruler. He wants to be the master. He wants to tell us when to come and when to go. He wants us to be with him and he with us in a real, constant, and powerful way. But besides Jesus wanting you to be with him, he wants you to understand that that's for the purpose of sending us out into the world as his representatives, to be his messengers of reconciliation, and to say to the world, come back to God through Jesus. You can come and be reconciled to God. He wants us to take what we learn from him and pass it on to others who will teach others also in the 2 Timothy 2:2 principle of discipleship. And that's the essence of the Great Commission. That's what missions is all about, whether it's in Ecuador or in Korea or in Ohio. That is missions, disciples, making disciples everywhere we go among all nations. Discipleship has a great cost, but it also has a great purpose. To be with Jesus and to be sent out to represent him, his kingdom in this world. This is the mission. Now, to be honest with you, I wrestled with that as a teenager. I said, can't I just be a nominal, normal Sunday morning, sometimes Sunday morning Christian? Wouldn't that be okay? A pretty good Christian without giving Jesus like total control of every aspect of my life. Can't I do that? I remember even in Bible college, my girlfriend, who's now my wife, said, Tony, do you think God might be calling you to be a missionary? I don't know if she wanted me to be called to be a missionary or she was hoping I wouldn't be called to be a, maybe she didn't want me to be called to be a missionary. Anyway, she said, so do you think you'll be a missionary? And I'm like, no, I had no intention of being a missionary. I had no intention of being a preacher of the gospel. So what was I doing in Bible college? Well, Jesus was making me. Jesus was working in my life. Even there, he was drawing me closer to himself, and he was tenderizing my heart toward whatever his calling might be in my life. And I'm so thankful he does. I'm thankful Jesus wants me to be with him and to be sent out by him. And I hope you feel the same way. How great it is to be close to Jesus as we sing. What a wonderful name it is. What a powerful name it is, that's true in our life. Every moment of every day. So Jesus was calling Peter to be close to him. The second way I see Jesus making Peter is that Jesus carried Peter through his failures. And there were many, many failures. Jesus was calling Peter to be with him, but also Jesus was carrying Peter through his failures. You know, some of the big failures, right? Luke chapter 22. Verses 31 and 32. I love this. This is one of my life verses. It says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I just love that. I'm praying for you. I love knowing that Jesus is praying. You know, he knew Peter was gonna fail. The next moment, Peter promised to go to prison and die for Jesus. Says, if everybody else runs out on you, I'm going to be there. I'm going to fight to the finish. I will die for you. And Jesus says, Peter, before morning, you're going to deny me 3 times. Jesus knew. He said, I'm praying for you, and then you're going to repent, and then you're going to strengthen your brothers. I'm so thankful. Peter must have been really thankful after all. But Jesus didn't cast him aside. Jesus didn't throw away the plan. Jesus carried him through. There was another time when Jesus announced his impending death, and Peter contradicted him and said, not so, Lord. No way that's going to happen. No way. And Jesus said, get out of the way, Satan. You're not seeing things the way God sees them. And many times, even though we don't see things the way God sees them, Jesus continues to carry us. Peter had a lot of rough edges. He was impulsive. He was self-confident. He too often spoke when he should have listened, but Jesus stuck with him and lifted him and carried him. Peter persevered not by his own power. He persevered by the power of Jesus, our Lord, who also perseveres for us. It's not that we're hanging on to God, it's that God is holding on to us in his ever-present strong arms. Well, once God had my full attention, we did end up being missionaries in Ecuador. During our first years in Ecuador, I found myself frustrated, exhausted, angry, and depressed. I was a victim of culture shock, and I wasn't very teachable. I had a great grasp of the language. I loved the Spanish language. I was right into that. But there were so many other things about life and ministry in Ecuador that I was not doing well. Some of those cultural lessons give us a good laugh now. Like the time Joy and I prepared about 20 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the Vacation Bible School kids, not realizing that no Ecuadorian child ever would eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So we later discovered a stack of sandwiches with like one bite, one nibble in them, and they just couldn't tolerate that, and so they hid them behind a bush. Some of the cultural lessons were not anywhere near that funny. Like the time in our first church where we were having a church picnic and everybody said, let's play volleyball. And so I started organizing a volleyball game. The net, well, that net is way too low. It needs to be higher. That ball, that's a soccer ball. That's not a volleyball. How can we play soccer with it? And you're supposed to have six people on a side and you're supposed to rotate. And one person serves and then when it's side out, they all go and they're like looking at me like, okay, Pastor, whatever you say. And there was just like this grumbling, and I didn't understand it. It hurt my feelings. Well, Ecuador plays volleyball in a totally different way from the whole rest of the world. They call it Equivolley, and it's great fun, and that's what they do. And I was trying to impress or input my idea of volleyball on them. What a terrible thing to do for a missionary. And so even though I wasn't a very good missionary, Jesus was carrying me, teaching me, and preserving hope in the good fruit that he would produce in my life and through my life. And I'm sure you can see how God carries you through the times when you fall into sin, through the times when you make unwise decisions, through the times when you turn your back on what he has said. Jesus carries us. God carries us when we fall. And so when we fall into his arms. Jesus called Peter to be with him. He carried him through his failures. And Jesus came through for Peter in ways that only God can. We will go through some challenging times, some times of fear, some times of illness, some times of financial trouble. And again, when we look back, we can say, God came through for me. Can you see that in your life? One of the illustrations of that in Peter's life is in Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, Peter's in prison. He's on death row, actually. He's due to be executed the next day. And an angel steps into his cell, into his life. Acts 12, verse 7 says, behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And then, you know, when I read that, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. Kind of says that. It says, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. Wow. That is God stepping into your life. If you have trouble getting up in the morning, your alarm clock just doesn't do the trick, or the alarm on your phone doesn't do the trick, just set it to angel smiting, you know, and with the angel smote Peter and boom, he was up, but there's a light and the chains are off. He said, get up quickly. Let's get out of here. Verse 11 later says, when Peter was come to himself and said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. The Lord came through for Peter in a way that he did not even anticipate how that was going to happen. But people were praying for him. The church had gathered and they were praying for his safety, for his release. And God sent an angel to reprieve the sentence. That wasn't the first time that Jesus had came through for him, and it wasn't the last time. On the day of Pentecost, years before, God's big promise had been fulfilled. The Holy Spirit came. Spirit-filled Peter preached a sermon that exalted the resurrected Jesus. And thousands of people heard, repented, and believed the gospel and were baptized. Jesus came through time after time in the book of Acts for Peter and the other apostles, and that's just illustration for us to recognize how God comes through. Jesus is there. Jesus is working. You may be at a low point. You may be dealing with tremendous illness. You may say, God, there is no way forward. But he's there. Jesus is there. He gives his angels charge of us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And you and I, we're not finished products yet, but we know that the Lord comes through to glorify himself and to teach us to walk in his Spirit daily. Back in 2005, we moved from Quito to the coastal city of Manta, started a church there. We felt that God was leading us to move. We'd gone through a period of searching. God, what do you want us to do? What's the next step after many years in Quito? And following his leadership, we planted a church. We saw God work in wonderful ways. In the early years of the church, people, sometimes other missionaries, people here would say, hey, how's the new church going? And I haven't killed it yet. You know, God is building his church. God is coming through. God is calling people to him, answering prayer, bringing people to faith in Christ. We outgrew our rented building. We say, hey, we need thousands of dollars that we don't have. And in a short time, God came through. God allowed us to build a permanent place there. And by God's grace, that's still being used for his glory. Our daughter Carla needed heart surgery. And God came through in unimagined, unexpected ways. In 2013, a small church in Virginia said, hey, come and stay with us. And we've talked to doctors at the University of Virginia. We've talked to the top cardiologists, and they want to see Carla, and they're willing to work on her. And we were like, God, you came through again. He comes through again and again and again, just like he came through for Peter. A devastating earthquake hit Ecuador in 2016. As I've seen the pictures this week from Venezuela, my mind flashes back to that time 10 years ago. We saw how God came through to allow us to provide relief and shelter, food and water through churches like yours that helped us at that time. God answers prayer, and God allowed us to share good news with more people, even in the aftermath of that terrible earthquake. Jesus calls Peter. He carries Peter. He comes through for Peter. But Jesus challenged Peter to keep growing. I'm at a period in my life, you know, where people say, sorry, you're retired. Well, no, not retired, not thinking about retiring. But I have to keep growing. Do you understand that? Do we understand that? Peter had been through so much and come so far, but Jesus challenged Peter to keep on growing. And Acts chapter 10 tells the amazing story of how God called Peter from his rooftop to go to Cornelius's house. In Acts chapter 11, he's telling about that. Acts 11, he's telling about that in verse 17. He says, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? He says, you guys, I don't know what I was supposed to say. I was there. I saw the vision. There's that sheet with the pigs and the lobsters and the shrimp and the other things we're not supposed to eat that I hear are really good. And God says, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And I said, no. I said, no, three times. Then I understood. There was a knock on the door. And I said, God must want me to go. He went and he said, I told the gospel story and the Holy Spirit moved and opened their hearts and the Gentiles believed God and the Holy Spirit came to dwell in them just as he had to us? Who was I to stop that? Are you at a place in your life where you say, God, okay, that's been enough. Now we're just going to coast. Have you ever been like that? Now I'm just going to coast. I've been there. God challenged Peter to grow. He had more in store for him. A group of Gentiles heard the good news about Jesus and believed. Peter could give testimony of that. Peter had already confirmed the faith of the Samaritans when Philip preached in Samaria. And later in Acts chapter 15, he would talk about the great work God was doing among the Gentiles. He spoke up for the faith of those Gentile believers. As we follow Jesus, we often think that our last big step of faith is the last big step of faith. But it's not. Never will be. There's always going to be another step. There's always going to be an opportunity to say no, no, no. Yes. To God. What is God doing in your life? What's the new area of growth for Faith Baptist Church? What's the new area of growth for your family? What's the new yes to say? When Joy's mom passed away in 2018, we knew that we were needed in the States to take care of her dad. We knew that. We felt a responsibility. But we struggled with wondering, how is God going to continue to use us in Ecuador? How is God going to continue to use us in missions? Could we set aside our identity as missionaries to Ecuador for a different chapter in our lives? We didn't know what was God was doing. But we stayed glued to Jesus. We allowed the Holy Spirit to teach us. So we followed God and didn't stand in his way. It took a while to do that. I'm so glad he did. So when we entered this new chapter working with Live Global based in Tennessee, ministering to leaders around Latin America and their ministry, it was like Joy said to me, it's like everything that's happened before is God preparing us to do this. And do you realize in your life it's the same thing, whether you're 12, 18, 25, 65, God is taking everything, all the calls, all the carries, all the coming through, so that you continue to grow in Jesus. What's the next step in life where you will have to say by faith, I trust God, because Jesus is still making you. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's why you have to answer the call to be with him, to follow him, to be sent by him. The big yeses you've said already are important, but the next one is the most important. What is it? I imagine it was toward the end of his life. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. He says to his readers, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. We're here today to exalt Jesus. What Jesus has done, what he's doing, what he will do. Jesus is making me. He's making you. How is Jesus making you his true disciple today? Would you prayerfully think about his calling? He's calling you to be with him. He's carrying you through your low points, through your failures, through sin. He comes through. Just watch God work. Just sit back and watch God work. He challenges you. Keep on growing. What is your next step in following Jesus? Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful for your work in our lives, that you have not stopped. You are not stopping. You are making us, forming us, molding us. There may be someone here today that you're calling to believe, to repent and believe and begin a new life. I pray, God, that you would work mightily in their heart. I pray for those who are followers of Jesus already, but maybe have slowed down. They've stopped by the wayside. They've felt defeated. They feel a little bit discouraged. I pray that you would lift them up. I pray we would all be challenged. Thank you, God, for making us into the image of Christ. In his name we pray.
Amen.